Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Feedback, I believe nobody wants to play for Eisman. That's what I'm thinking at this point. That's from Nico and Livonia. It was a terrible year for free agency. There's not much Steve could do there. That's from an unnamed texter. I know they're two separate entities owned by the same family, but the Tigers didn't blink twice and moved on from Alan Trammell. Why the over-admiration of Eisman? Well, I'd have to go back and look at Trammell's timeline, but it feels like Eisman took him from awful to this. And I don't think Trammell was on his way towards this.
When Alan Trammell was manager?
When he got fired.
Alan Trammell was given no resources to work with. He had a real tough time. I believe it was during the transition of Randy Smith to Dave Dombrowski, and they had just made those moves to go get in the offseason. We had 1 year with Fernando Vina, Rondell White, and Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah.
As I recall that season with Pudge Rodriguez in 2005, not exactly a team player. Something happened, and I believe it was in Toronto, where he was in the lineup, was he out of the lineup, and he just didn't come across as being this team guy. And it kind of had a little power struggle there. Tram lost the power struggle. They then went and threw in an interim manager at the time, and then they went hiring Jim Leland the next year, and things obviously changed dramatically. But they also changed dramatically because they took more chances. They had gotten Magaly Ordóñez. You know, they promoted Justin Verlander and Joel Zamaya, and they added Kenny Rogers. It was more of a team that he had. Alan Trammell was not done any favors by the organization in terms of the team that they handed him. It was a tough way to get introduced into managing Major League Baseball when you're not given any resources.
Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Larry. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. I've kind of stewed on this for about a week, the Red Wings stuff, and just thinking about it, you guys let me know if this makes sense. I'll make two points. I'll start with the less important of the two. I was at an age, you know, when the Red Wings were in their heyday winning cups, I think they made 6 or 8 conference finals in, 15 or 16 years, whatever it was. And so I look at the franchise like this. I don't get too exercised about draft picks and, what Steve's doing on a month to month or even within like a season. I kind of look at the team structurally. And so the less important of the two, first thing, in a town like Detroit where the fans and the media have reverence for an original six franchise, a historic franchise, obviously it's the 100th anniversary. You can win in this town, you can lose in this town, but what you can't beat is boring. And the Red Wings are boring. From their ownership, to the executives, to the coach, to the guys on the club, boring. I mean, there's a reason people know who Darren McCarty is 20 years later. It's because he represented what Detroit is, and people could identify with him. He wasn't a boring player, and they didn't have.
Well, it was a Stanley Cup winning team that he was part of. Darren McCarty was never part of a bad Red Wing team. So, and it's a different era of hockey as well. They don't play that style of hockey anymore. So, what was your other point?
Fair point, but the bigger point is this. For about 20 years, I think, between 1990, I'll say between 1990...
Hey, real quick, Larry, we got others we want to get to. So you're...
Okay, yeah. So they were best in class for 20 years.
Yep.
That means ownership, executives, all the way up and down the line. It's a pretty big coincidence if all of Steve's ex-teammates are best in class. The guys running this team are not best in class, and that's what they need to change. So it's not about one window or two. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. He just playing the support staff?
Maybe.
Okay. And as far as the boring thing's concerned, boring is just another word for losing. I mean, I think it sounds good in theory.
Well, it's
and the guy knew, you could tell the guy goes way back with the Red Wings, there's nothing. There's very little exciting about losing. You can have interesting personalities. I mean, Darren McCarty, with all respect, if he were on this team, he'd make a difference. But they still wouldn't be contending. I don't.
It's different hockey. Yeah. The thing is, even before the Red Wings won Stanley Cups, when they were an awful team, going back to the mid-80s, when they were an awful team, yeah, you can say that they weren't boring because Probert and Kosar were fighting every other shift. You know, both guys had over 300 minutes in penalties, and they were, you know, crazy totals. And yeah, it was a terrible hockey team that ended up with the top pick overall in 1986 because how bad they were in the, in the 85-86 season. But things did change, but the NHL changed. I mean, that kind of hockey isn't around anymore.
You get about 1 year of being bad but young and exciting. You get about 1 year of, okay, look at all these young guys. They're going to be really good. But you don't get much longer than that before you have to win. There's very – the direct correlation between winning and entertainment is – it's not complicated. It's a straight line.
Yeah, nobody knows what the timeline is with Chris Ilitch, but Red Wing fans have their own timeline. You know, and some of those people, Yzerman has crossed it, and they're done with him. And I get that. And for me, it's going to take another year of missing the playoffs before I'm in that same spot. We'll see what they add to this team. How they perform in March is going to be huge. Are they going to collapse again? Are they even in a position to make the playoffs at that point? We won't know. It's going to take months before that happens. But right now, not terribly encouraged by what they have going into the season being that much better than what they had. I think they're slightly better, but I'm sure a lot of teams think that they're better than they were last year too.
Jake is next on 97.1. Hello, Jake.
Howdy, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to put in my votes for Champ and Chump.
Yep.
My first vote for Champ is Zach McKinstry because his base running yesterday was just amazing. And my Chump for is Emmanuel Classe for blowing it again against the Tigers. I just think we're in this guy's head, and I love it.
You know, it's weird because he was so close to getting out of that. He was so close, and it felt like – I mean, it felt like the Tigers were in trouble. It's not like Parker Meadows is hitting the cover off the ball, but they managed to get McKinstry as a pinch runner around a third with a stolen base and the review, and then the hit behind the runner, and he gets to third, and there's two outs. Class A was right there, right there.
Oh, I thought we were out for sure, but then I was audibly screaming when they got it, that run.
Yeah, no, it was incredible, and then they get to extra innings, and the Tigers just unload on Cade Smith. Absolutely unload. 248-539-9797. Ken is in Howell and on 97 won the ticket. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I've been listening to all your not just your programs, but everybody else. And the one thing that doesn't come up in the Red Wings conversations, and I apologize if it did and I missed it, but we did have a coaching change last year, and even though he is a better coach, he still needs time to develop his system and his team. So I don't know if that was put in the equation.
Well, Ken, that's something that was brought up last week. You have not brought that up today, and I'm glad you did, because the biggest change for the Wings going into the season is that they've got Todd McClellan as the head coach. And, you know, would Todd McClellan have made a 3 or 4 win difference last year if he was coaching a team in the first half of the season, the first 30 games, whatever it was, before they fired Nuzzi? Probably. He may have. And if they did, they'd be a playoff team. But things kind of level out. And Todd McClellan was great. They had those 2 7-game win streaks early on in his tenure. But then March happened. And it happened under his watch. So the Red Wings have a March problem. And that's an organizational problem. They have to figure that out. Why is it that they have these collapses? And you don't want to make excuses for anything. Is it an actual problem with the way the team is constructed, or is it just happenstance?
It seems like too much of a coincidence that every year in March, the last several years in March, have been really rough for them. Right as we get to the trade deadline. 248-539-9797. Hey, Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is bringing the heat with these sizzling summer deals. Lease a new 2026 Trailblazer LS for just $239 a month for 36 months with $19.99 down. $239 a month for a 26 model year Trailblazer. All you need to activate this deal is a GM employee discount. Don't forget Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. That means they have a huge inventory of Silverados, Equinox, Blazers, and Trax, and EVs, hundreds to choose from. Take advantage of these sizzling summer savings now and say Sarah. Call 87-SAY-SARAH or go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. See dealer for details and get there fast.